Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And this week, well, sometimes it's good to be lucky rather than good. So last week, we always talk about our faction focus, and usually after the show, Ray and I asked you, the fans, for a suggestion. But then just as a backup, we choose, okay, which one are we going to work on, just so we have some time to prepare. And then we got a lovely little gift from Games Workshop this morning. And I kind of went, ooh, what's going on here?
Yeah, so we already knew that the last of Psychic Awakening books is going to involve Necrons. And we've seen that they're going to have a new Zeras model to go along with it. But today, we saw a little teaser for what can only be the Silent King.
So how would you just, I mean, from what I saw, first thing was, this is all, it was kind of like a spoof of Ancient Aliens. So it looked like it was like a etchings in a pyramid wall that looked very Necron and kind of retold the story of the Silent King. For those of you who don't know, the Silent King is kind of like the uber Necron. He's the one who actually ruled all the dynasties and made the deal with the Satan. Yeah, okay. Immortality sounds cool. What could go wrong? And I'm trying to remember, Ray, you can correct me on the fluff. Basically, he basically put himself in exile, right? He just basically said, I'm not taking the blame for this, and took off. Is that basically what happened to him?
Oh, no, basically, after they fought with the Old Ones, which eventually also included Eldar and the Kork, they won. He set all of his followers to go into hibernation, and then he just decided he was... That was until, basically, the idea is he decided to come back once he saw the Tyranids on their way towards the galaxy.
Interesting. So, again, it seems to be kind of one of these more fictional idea, story-driven things. Never once did we ever think this would actually have anything to do with the tabletop until today.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's not much to say. Again, it's only a teaser. But was it May 23rd was when we're supposed to hear more.
So, a mere 2 weeks away. So, very excited about that. So, it's wildly speculating at this point. Oh, what could this mean? What could, you know, what is possibly, is it a equivalent of a Necron Primarch? Is it just a new set of rules that's going to show up in Pariah? I have no idea at this point, but it is super exciting to find out that something along this lines of, you know, that level of character coming back is pretty amazing. So,
yeah. So Don is of the opinion that he's going to be to the same level of like a Gilliman.
Seems fair. And I could see that. So, and I couldn't imagine him making him, you know, bigger or something like that, because that would just set off the scale completely. But if there is a faction that has big stuff, there is Necrons would probably be it. So,
I mean, we're already seeing Zeras get bigger. So, yeah.
Yeah. So exactly, he's quite pretty big. Not sure, you know, exactly what it is that this, you know, how that all works into. Again, it's one of those things you kind of go, I don't know how to describe it at this point. He's such a big character in the story. It's almost like one of those, it's kind of like Ryan's also on the other end. He could be the Necron version of Space Pope, where he's a big figurehead, but he kind of sits there on the chair and buffs everything. So, don't know.
True.
So, not really sure what to expect from all this, but I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks. So,
I'm kind of excited to see what they've got to say about it.
Perfect timing. Yeah, absolutely. What brought this on? What prompted them to come up with this crazy idea? And what exactly is it going to be when it comes out? Of course, then brings back to, if that's being announced in 2 weeks, does that mean Pariah's coming out right around that time? Maybe the week after?
No, there's still two books between it and that. So, I mean, they'd have to have each book come out each week for us to even get something like that. And that's not good.
Right. In which I've not seen a release date for Engine War. They had a small preview of the AdMech units, but nothing really, you know, like you can sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
And like you said, we still have War of the Spider in between those two. So it's like, okay, When is all this coming out? So anyway, it was a nice surprise. I love the Ancient Aliens theme, but can't wait for more details. What could this possibly be? Also, another new model that was kind of sneakily or stealthily revealed is apparently it's a event only, but it is a catechin sergeant of some kind. So one thing I thought was really clever is he has multiple head options. So you can have different types of head swaps that you can comes with the kit. And interesting enough, each of the head swaps pretty much duplicates a character from the Predator movie, which I thought was a really clever.
Yeah, I noticed that
so,
too.
Yes, you can have Carl. You notice that one? You know, the hat and all that. So, and then there's even one even painted in African-American skin tone. So I'm like, oh, there's Carl Weathers. There's Jesse Ventura. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's pretty cool. That movie still cracks me up every time that, you know, at the time it was a cool movie, but let's be honest, it was a popcorn movie of action thriller, typical 80s action set, and somehow produced three political giants in our U.S. history. Between Governor Ventura, Governor Schwarzenegger, and Carl Weathers. I think he was a state representative, and I think that's what his big... But if you want to move and become a politically ambitious Hollywood actor, you should have been in Predator. So there you go.
So the trick is 80s action.
80s action movies. That's what it needs out. That is the trick to your political career. And then the reveals, I guess, from Engine War. I thought it was interesting that they, the horse guys have various pistols with exceptions so they can shoot. So it's like, okay, that's interesting. They can advance and charge and still shoot their pistols. So I thought that was kind of neat. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot to reveal. And I've not seen any leaks regarding the White Dwarf, whatever, 354, I think it is, the Harlequin release. So should be curious to see when all that comes out. So lots of stuff. The only good news, I guess, would be that the Games Workshop stores are open in the United States.
All of the GW stores are open, but they're certainly shipping out from their web store.
And it's still the limited availability, so we're not sure exactly what is, you know, moved its way from the factory to stores and all that stuff. But good news. And also our local game store has resumed limited hours at least, so we're excited to see them back in business. So head on down to Imperial Outpost there in Glendale, Arizona. So they have limited hours. The game room is still not open, so not able to get any in-person games yet, but help them out. They've been, in terms of supporting the local meta here in Arizona. Be very excited about that. So other than that, Ray, you took the plunge in 3D printing, and it's so far not going off so well.
Yeah, it's. I thought I'd get it so I could do things around the use it for stuff around the house. And hey, while I'm at it, maybe I can just print myself my own. But well, let's see. I got it today. I haven't even been able to go 20 minutes without it really having a problem. So if you just think it's gonna be something that you can put together and then be right on your way, think again.
So hopefully, if you guys have got any experience, hit us up on the Facebook page, right? You can use your help. Trying to hit some of our local friends that can help us with this, but not working out too well here. I mean, what you were saying prior to the show, that you're barely getting 10% into the build before a thing comes to a screeching halt. So,
although with any luck, I'll be able to figure out why, you know, before too much longer.
Very cool. So very excited to see, hopefully get that fixed, because that's from what I've seen online. There's some really cool things you can do with a 3D printer. So a lot of pre-made files, so you don't have to spend all that time learning how to do ZBrush and all the other 3D sculpting programs out there, which, by the way, those have a very sharp learning curve.
Do they? I haven't even looked at those yet at all.
Yeah, I used to do a little freelancing back in the day, and that was, oh my gosh, that was very troublesome. I was just maxing out my computer every time in terms of memory and processing strength just to get basic stuff done. So if somebody's done the work ahead of time and it looks pretty cool, hit the download button. That might be worth it. I just found this Tyranid tower looking thing. It's basically the size of the Imperial Bastion. It's basically, you know how the old Forge World capillary spikes things that provide no line of sight, no cover?
Yeah.
Picture like 8 or 9 of them smooshed together to make a tower. And then there's like a little parapet on top.
All right.
Looks really cool. So I'm like, okay, that could work. So anyway, look forward to you getting that up and running and getting to hear all the nifty projects you're printing off. Be pretty cool. So those are all the updates at this point. Still, you know, gradually things are slowly opening. I finally got a haircut, so that's always that's looking pretty. I had the COVID-19 mop going. That was ridiculous. I look like one of the 70s Hardy Boys. It was ridiculous, but it's done. And so now, just hopefully things will slowly revert back to. Hopefully moving at a safe pace is what I'm trying to say. So we'll see how that all, but restaurants are slowly opening up and all that. So hopefully we'll get back to some sense of what we're used to. Maybe. And then we'll get back to the tournament circuit. Yeah, maybe. So might be a while. So, but in the meantime, we will continue here with our faction focus. So as I said, we got lucky and previewed Necrons prior to the big announcement from Games Workshop. So anyway, we'll get into that right after this break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and use a unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. Welcome back after the break and time to dive into the Necrons here. Necrons have definitely been an army that doesn't really get their day in the sun when it comes to competitive play. And the types of armies have definitely have wildly shifted from one to the other. And there was a time when it was all Tesseract vaults, and then there's still a big lean on destroyers at this point, but there are several units within the Codex that are ready to shine. So it's one of those things on the eve of potentially a new Psychic Awakenings book to give them some, breathe some new life into this Codex. I am eager to see what they can do on the competitive circuit, because there's several times where we've talked about, wow, this unit and this unit can do really well. So curious what your take is on when it comes to Necrons and how they can compete.
Well, when last we saw, they were still kind of a one list wonder, and that list was basically three Doomsday Arcs, three Doom Scythes, and then from there it kind of just depended on how people wanted to fill it out. But the most popular was Emotech, and then troops. People kind of varied on how they want to do the troops, but mostly it was just bare minimum squads of Immortals and then Tomb Blades.
And we talked about this when we went over some of those winning lists as they were winning GTs. Imotech has a unique ability. He's one of their characters. All Necron Overlords have the My Will Be Done, which gives a plus one to hit to a neighboring unit. Usually I think it's infantry. I have to double check if it's...
Yeah, it's add one to advance charge and hit rolls for the unit until the beginning of your next turn.
So the idea that he can do that twice, so he could affect two units, so he would do is drop that on two units of Tesla Immortals, and therefore they would get the Tesla effect on a 5+ as opposed to a 6+. So that means on a 5 or 6, they're inflicting 3 hits as opposed to just 1. So very, very powerful weapon in that regard. And, of course, the Doomsday Arcs came down in price in a previous chapter approved, so allowing them to just sit back in a spearhead and open fire and provide a lot of heavy support. That was usually a reaction to some of the repulsor lists that were out there. And, of course, there's also the three Doomsites, which not only is it a aircraft with a lot of firepower. They have a nifty stratagem where you kind of pick a point and then everybody around that point takes damage, I think in the form of mortal wounds, which is also a great character killer because in the Space Marine meta, a lot of Space Marine characters need to clump up their characters to buff all their troops around them. So they usually seem to be clumped quite together. So it was a really good counter to the current meta at this point. That being said, quite a few units still rightfully ignored and could be pulled out of mothballs as we're seeing less and less of a vehicle eccentric meta and seeing what could emerge after our little COVID break here. So Ray, what are some of the units that you feel get kind of the short shrift from the competitive scene?
Well, I think the big one is the Triarch Praetorians personally. And I think the biggest reason of that is because they don't have the dynasty keyword. Everybody focuses on it so much that they look at it and say, well, it doesn't get any of the benefits. Why would I put it on the list? When they don't realize that maybe there's a reason that they decided not to give them that outside of just, oh, they're for fluff reasons. It's one of the more maneuverable units. Granted, they take up the same slot as some of the other good models. That, and then you can have each one going around with what basically amounts to a strength 5 minus AP heavy minus bolter. Weapon. Yeah. And then, of course, it's basically got the same stats in close combat because they are strength 5 when they use it in melee, too. It's either that or then you've got the
other... Just give me an idea.
Say they've got the other version, too, which is a strength 6 pistol and a void blade, which is memory serves. It's the same stats as a power sword, you know, strength user. In this case, 5, AP minus 3. So in that regard, it's the same as the Rod of the Covenant, but it also gives you that plus 1 attack. So instead of going around with 2 attacks, you've got 3.
Yeah, overall, when you look at this, they're jump troops. So they do have the fly keyword with a 10-inch move. So they zip around, and if you probably think 10 inches for a jump troop, well, Necrons aren't exactly the speediest army around. So this is a pleasant surprise when you see this. Hit on 3s, both close combat and shooting. Strength 5, as we mentioned before. And toughness 5 with 2 wounds. So they fairly durable. They're up there. And when it comes to your basic infantry, it does take up an elite choice, like Ray mentioned. But it's just one of those, they came down in cost with the last chapter approved. So this gives them a little more range in terms of being used in the lists. It says your strength 5, AP minus 3. You know, probably the only thing that probably holds them back from being totally over the top is damage 1 versus damage 2. So if they're damage 2, they'd be an ultimate Primaris killer. But like you said, they got a lot with 2 attacks each they can do, and then possibly 3 if you switch up to the different weapons. Got a lot of options for them. And then the other thing just to keep in mind, too, is that they are immune to morale. So they are one of the few. Used to be everything was fearless in 7th edition, and come 8th edition, there's not quite as many. But so these are expensive units that aren't going away anytime soon. So pretty neat stuff. So it's one of those units that's very versatile and seems to get overlooked all the time. Anyone else that stands out, Ray, that kind of gets overlooked?
I mean, I used to say destroyers, but last I heard those were kind of starting to make a comeback before everything happened with the COVID.
Destroyers, destroyers in various varieties, both heavy and regular, are slowly were becoming auto take in towards right the end of the season, right before we hit our stopping point. So yeah, they're still pretty nasty. Don't get me wrong. The biggest thing with them is, you know, with the will be back, I almost called will be back roast. It's been upgraded, excuse me, to reanimation protocols. Is the idea that you get one model back. So when you think of like a Necron warrior, you're like, oh, big deal. But when you get a destroyer back on a die roll, it is such a monumental feat to kill one of these things. They are T5 as well, 3 wounds with 3 up armor save, and each of them has rocking a 24-inch heavy 3. Strength 6, AP minus 3, D3 damage gun that's re-rolling ones to hit without any aid of any characters nearby. They have that native, and they can move and fire heavy weapons without a penalty. So you can take the heavy Gauss cannon, which gives you a 36-inch range, heavy 1, strength 9, so you're wounding pretty much every vehicle on 3s, AP minus 4. and D6 damage. So they become a pretty big threat, especially in large units. And then when you think you've killed a bunch, one or two of them start sprinkling back into the unit. So they become a very high target priority when it comes to the lists. And that's what's again, they actually occupy the fast attack slot. So you still have some room to bring in the Praetorians there. Tomb Blades, you mentioned, also were kind of stock in the list. Those are also fast attack, but mostly those for more board control and getting around, with also getting off a whole bunch of Tesla fire. So it's still some stuff out there. The Satan are always a curious beast because you still see them kind of pop up in lists, and especially where people are kind of speculating, because they just pump out a ridiculous amount of mortal wounds. And I'm still on the, is it just why we're not seeing more of them at this point? But they're still, well, you know, they do have the king. Go ahead.
The Deceiver we'll see, because it's got the ability for you to adjust how you've got stuff deployed. Although I think we'll see that less often now with the end of the going back and forth on setting up models pregame. But I mean, they're still not, they really aren't.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you already know you're going first. They're all 8 wounds, so, and they are, they have the character keywords, so you can hide them. They're very similar in that regard to like the Incarn. All of them rock a 4 up in Vol. And then they also have the powers of Satan, which you said, it's just all kinds of crazy access to abilities to shell out mortal wounds on your opponents. It's just one of those things where they're not like psychic abilities where there's a fail point. It's just like, okay, I'm going to choose this power for this particular game, and off we go.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, they're not psychic powers, so you can't deny them. You don't have to worry about rolling to get them off. But at the same time, yeah, you're only getting one or two on the regular Satan. Yeah, 2 powers, but they can only use 1. The only time it's different is when you're looking at the Transcendent Satan, which is a heavy. Well, I guess that one actually still uses, it's got 2 and you can only use 1, but
the Tesseract Vault. It's got those additional abilities as well.
Yeah, the Tesseract Vault is what I'm thinking of, which at this point you don't see because of how expensive it is.
That thing's no joke, though. I mean, there used to be lists that used to be almost the thing for a long time. That's when you saw Necron lists. You saw 1 or 2 Tesseract Vaults. Those things were ridiculous. It's a super heavy with, it was only T7 with 28 wounds, but it had 20 Tesla shots at 24 inches at strength 7. That was just ridiculous. Oh, then we also had the Satan locked inside. And then, of course, the Satan inside gets all kinds of buffs to its abilities. So it's just like, what the heck? So they were pretty powerful. So yeah, I don't know if we'll see them coming back, but the 1 or 2 sprinklings, I've seen a couple lists. I've seen some crazy lists where they try to mix and match as many Satan as possible. I don't know if that's the way to go, but sometimes one maybe as your distraction Carnifex could still be pretty powerful in any list. They're not that expensive, so they can, you know, and I don't think they benefit from dynasties as well. So you could actually put them in a list without worry about breaking any of your dynasty rolls. So
let me double check. Yeah, I think, yeah, no, they don't have the dynasty.
So another unit that comes up a lot in Necron lore in terms of what they do. They're kind of an odd unit, and they've, from edition to edition, they've done better or worse. And sometimes so people kind of go, well, are they still a thing? It says, well, if you're new to them, they are interesting. Those are flayed ones. So they are basically a dedicated assault unit. And what makes them interesting for them is they've kind of ramped up a lot of their abilities and kind of sneakily gotten better over the time. So right off the bat, when you go, it's an assault unit with a 5-inch movement, Eric. Why would I bother with this? Because reason why I would bother with it, because it does have a built-in delivery method. They can deep strike for free. So there's no stratagems or required. It's one of their native abilities. And when they do come in, they are 3 attacks each. They are strength 4 hitting on 3s, so they're pretty potent. The only thing probably, yeah, the AP 0 is probably not the greatest. But they do come with a free reroll to wound. So even though being strength 4, so they're wounding Marines on a regular basis 75% of the time. So they're putting quite a few wounds downfield, and And on top of they can take, let's make sure they can get all the way up to, yeah, you can add up to 20 in a unit. So you can also do a decent job of wrapping them. So you get this another distraction, another way of getting taken over a flank when you have all this long range shooting, which you're typically used to from the Doomsday barges, their Doomsday arcs. This is a nice way of getting in there and just racking up the backfield quite a bit. So, and I believe Emotech gives them a bonus. I'm trying to remember what that is off the top of my head. They had some sort of funky ability.
Emotech?
Oh, yeah. Emotech gives them reroll once to hit if he's within 12 inches. So probably not the best. If Emotech's within 12 inches of the flayed one, something may have gone wrong. Unless you're trying to use them as like a counter-assault unit to protect Emotech.
Right. Yeah, there's a pretty big reason outside of just how old the models are. Them, they're not really that useful.
So overall playstyle, how would you describe Necrons?
Unfortunately, the way they are now, for the most part, they're kind of a turtling army. You don't really move much with them, but you do plenty of shooting.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of their shooting, other than the Ghost Arcs and the Destroyers, is short range, which is one reason why you see them more often. It's usually hunkered down at 24 inches. They do still have some teleportation abilities from the Veil of Darkness. It's interesting you don't see that much anymore.
Yeah, they do still have some ability for movement. And then you have your more movable units like the Destroyers, the Praetorians. But you got what little transports they have are not the greatest. You've got the Ghost Arcs, their transport, which can only carry warriors and or characters. But of course, unless you've got an undersized unit of warriors, if you're putting warriors in, their minimum slot size is 10. That's all the slots in that Ghost Arc. There's also the fact that the Ghost Arc lost the ability where the warriors inside could shoot out of it, which I still don't quite understand why they decided to do that.
Yeah, didn't quite get that either. Plus, it has those ridiculous guns on it, too. So,
I mean, they're not really, the Ghost Arc doesn't really have ridiculous guns. It's just got the same kind of gun on it as the warriors do. It's just you've got five on each side.
Yeah, that's what I meant by ridiculous. It just seems, if you get close to it, it's almost like a old sailing ship that levels a broadside on you. It's like, yeah, that's kind of weird. If I remember right, are they basically a cryptek that allows you to get back in the game or are they actually repairing? They've changed that role a few times from edition to edition.
What, the Ghost Arc?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Ghost Arc, the way it works is that you make reanimation rolls for slain models that are embarked, even though they're not on the battlefield, so there's that. Don't ask me how. I'm guessing you can put in a unit that may, let's say you have a squad of 10, you lost 4 and the mech alive, but you can still add the 4 back so long as they didn't morale. There's also the fact that units within 3 inches of the Ghost Arc can also, at the end of the movement phase, make the reanimation protocols. But you can't do that if it's been affected by either the Orb of Eternity or a Resurrection.
Now, it's funny, when reanimation protocols first came out, people were saying that it was actually better to take smaller squads because, like you said, if you lose models due to morale, you can't reanimate those, but you can reanimate the ones that are regular casualties.
Yeah.
But with the leadership 10, part of me what's the point?
So when it comes to them, I mean, squads of 5 or 10, it's not that big. The problem is they took reanimation. Say whatever you want to, and for the most part, I'll agree when it comes to how clunky 7th edition was getting. One thing they had right was reanimation protocol. Sometimes you need things to be clean. Making it a roll like a feel no pain helped keep it clean. Speaking as someone who has played Necrons, and I mean the whole time I was the whole time between the indexes and really getting codexes, I was playing Necron. It's not fun having to go around with every squad's basically got 2 dice. The one dice is how many have gone away. The other dice is how many actually can come back. That's clunky, you know.
It is.
Why do we have?
But I think the biggest thing is it's a little more powerful, but.
Well, I mean, let's look at this. So the reanimation protocols as they are, you roll a d6 for each slain model at the beginning of the turn. Okay. So again, it's a lot of, I can understand the idea that, yeah, if you get rid of everybody, take them all off the board. But at the same time, yeah, you've basically got people have to keep a sideboard of each squad, have to remember, okay, these models were killed, those models lost morale. When it's just as it could just as easily be a feel no pain. If feel no pain is too strong at a 5+, instead of the 5+ in image protocols, make it a 6+. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Okay. No, they are clunky. I think you hit it right. The sideboard for every unit is kind of a pain in the neck. So it's remembering, okay, these are the ones I'm rolling for. The nice thing, though, is you can keep rolling every turn until the unit's destroyed. So kind of a neat little thing. So either or. So it could kind of work from there. One thing that's not clunky but ridiculously powerful is the living metal roll. Quantum shielding roll. And that's something, going back to another reason why you see the ghost arcs. And not ghost arcs, I'm having a tough time. Doomsday arcs all the time. Yeah, those are what makes them ridiculously powerful. So they're not easily destroyed by traditional methods. So it's a unique twist. And if you don't see it coming, it will definitely be a feel-bad experience for a Necron opponent. Mm-hmm. So traditionally, if you see a large tent, what's that?
It's also why they can be pretty useful against like certain knight armies or high, just people running around with high damage weapons, like that tank from the new tank from the Primaris Space Marines. You know, the one that always deals at least 3 damage.
That's one of those. You just the Necron players like to laugh at that thing because with their being able to let me re-roll the dice. Nope, sorry, don't take damage from that vehicle. So one of those nifty. I know the Doomsday Arcs has it. I'm just wondering if the Legendary Monolith has that as well.
The Monolith does not have that. No, I'm looking at the page. The Monolith does not have.
Awesome. Oh well. Yeah, for those who are not familiar with quantum shielding, that I knew. So, which is unfortunate, but they do get living metal, so at least they can heal a little bit for each turn they're alive. Yeah, so basically, roll d6 every time a saving throw has failed. If the result is less than the damage inflicted by the attack, the damage is ignored. So yeah, if you're being hit with let's say Gosgul for a second, comes in. Each one of those swings of his super claw there is damage 4. If you can roll a 4, less than a 4, so the 3 or less, so half the time, we just ignore that damage. Sorry, no damage here. So very, very frustrating. So you tend to have to go after them with like damage 1 and damage 2 weapons and just death by 1,000 paper cuts, and hopefully you can take these things out. This crazy stuff like that, which does give them a fair amount of board control capability. So what secondaries would you use when you're playing Necrons?
That's where it kind of gets, like I said before, they're kind of a turtling army, but at the same time, they need to be any kind of, they don't really have effective long range fire. There's two weapons that different models can have that go further than 24 inches, which basically every weapon that's not a flamer has a range of. That's the main weapon on the Doomsday Arc, which is 72 inches, if I remember right, so long as it stays still. And then there is it's kind of two variations here. There's the Heavy Gauss Cannon or the Twin Heavy Gauss Cannon. That's range 36. There's two units that have that weapon. One is the Triarch Stalker. The other is the Heavy Destroyers. So if you're not running with those, then you kind of want to be near the center of their board so that you can get shooting almost everywhere. So I could see someone trying to utilize King of the Hill just so they can get points while they're trying to hang out in the middle. Recon, I could see someone building a list towards you getting points there, especially if they're one of the outliers that decide to use something along the lines of the Night Scythe, which is the flying transport. Outside of that, engineers and sappers, I could see them using a lot of. You've got models like the Cryptex that they don't really have a whole lot they can do offensively, but they might have some sort of movement to them, especially if you're not having them focus on repairing vehicles. And to a point, the Destroyer Lord can also be pretty useful for that too. He's a little bit more maneuverable. He's tougher. And unless you've, outside of having him armed with the Staff of Light, he's not really shooting anything anyway. In fact, the thing you're doing most with him is having him around destroyers.
He gives them a buff. I can't remember if it's reroll hits or reroll wounds. I know they get one for free and one from the Destroyer Lord. So
it's wound rolls.
There it is, Destroyer Lord.
Wound rolls. Yeah, because they basically have they can reroll ones to hit, but having him around means ones to wound can be taken care of too. So
yeah. Interesting army altogether. There's a lot of options that are still haven't really been explored. Be curious to see what comes out. Also curious to see what gets fleshed out from Psychic Awakenings. So anything particularly you want to see from Psychic Awakenings?
I honestly would like to see them change how Gauss works. It used to be that the Gauss weapons were just a little bit better against vehicles than they were against infantry, and they've kind of lost that. I'd kind of like to see them maybe, I don't know, against vehicles, when you roll a 6, deal a mortal wound on top of the regular damage. But, you know, something small. It doesn't need to be big, but just like, hey, against vehicles, we do a little bit better with these weapons. Because right now what we see mostly are a focus on Tesla, because, hey, 6s means it's like one hit becomes 3. They're kind of outshining the Gauss weapon.
I would agree. I'd love to see that. Of course, make your own dynasties would be a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like the Gauss weapons were the signature weapon of the Codex, and it's not quite living up to what it used to be. At all, especially the days of, you know, 6s were automatic glancing hits. So,
yeah, and I mean, I've been playing Necrons since before their 7th edition Codex. I was playing with their 5th edition Codex, even when a lot of the other armies had their 6th edition Codex. And I know everybody gives a crap because it was a Matt Ward edition, but like something I liked was, you know, they had the different flavors of Cryptex, and you can still kind of get that with the relics a little bit, but you know, I
totally forgotten about that. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But at the same time, yeah. So back then, and all the way through 7th edition, it was the Gauss weapons weren't too special. But when you're going up against vehicles, it's like, these are the ultimate weapons. I remember playing against a guy. This is just after Knights came out. He built up a list that had, it was three or four Knights. And I built equal points around Necrons. And it was almost all Gauss weapons. I took out the entire Knight army in, I believe it was 2 or 3 turns. Now, granted, part of that was because I got one to blow up and into the other, and then that one blew up into the other, and we had a whole domino effect. But still, this is back when your average gun couldn't do that. Now, I'll be the first to say I'm glad that any weapon can cause damage to vehicles now. But Gauss weapons, just the way that they're described in the fluff, and you know, even the way that they've at least have been designed in the past of the game, it would make more sense for them to be just a little bit better than they are against vehicles.
Yeah, be curious to see those come back. So I don't know. So lots of speculation at this point. What could be coming out? We'll be looking anxiously for more updates from the Games Workshop community page. Anything else you want to add regarding Necrons?
I hope to see more people try out different lists and find out what else is good other than the list we've been seeing for the past 6 months to a year.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what people have been working on with their little break here. So we'll look forward to that once we get back to tournament play. As always, what's up for next week for a faction focus? We'll be back to Imperium at this point.
Yeah, next week will be an Imperium faction.
Okay, so if you guys have any requests for what Imperium faction we should cover in our faction focus, hit us up on our Facebook page so we can respond and get a good look into that. In the meantime, any additional updates will also be on our Facebook page. Until next week, though, my name is Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.